Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, episode 153. This is going to be one of my most exciting episodes because I have one of my best buddies on with me, Joe Delgado. I've known him now for over 20 years. And what's fascinating is we've sort of never lived near each other, but I've probably spent more time with Joe than any of my other friends in the world. But the reason why I think it's so important to have him as a guest in sort of the third chapter of the Chasing Tomorrow podcast is that he reflects back, and I think you'll hear this through his story, sort of the perfect example of high-performance athlete turned into sort of the consummate sort of lifespan, health span person. And there's this big, long journey that goes along there of learning about, hey, man, maybe I ran I think Joe might have been a 4:14 mile in high school all the way to now being able to compete in ultramarathons. But more than anything, turning your career into your life and your life into your career. So they're interspersed and they're one in the same. And well, it's just a pleasure to have you on the show, Joe. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Just living the dream here in Tucson. I'm trying to stay cool, which is not an easy thing to do, but I'm super excited to be on this podcast. We've been friends for a long time. You're a great friend and mentor, role model to me. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So Joe, I think the best place to start, Tucson, right? Southern Arizona, who even knows where it is, other than it's one of my favorite places in the world, but you grew up there. So you're an Arizona guy. And so tell us a little bit of your story. You know, what did you do early on? How did you get into athletics? How did that develop? Just give us a whole story from the beginning.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, born and raised here in Tucson. And I think just from a young age, I liked to race. I liked to run. I mean, I remember going back to first grade, always wanting to race people and just super active, like maybe like overly active. And then for some reason, when I was 10 years old, my cousin and I decided to run a half marathon called the Caliente Run, which means hot run in Spanish, from, I think it was like from Pima College to Santa Fe Mission. So I did that when I was 10 years old and 11 years old and started running in high school and college. And it's a part of my life. It's a part of my family's life. And I'm really blessed that I guess at a young age that I was able to gravitate towards that.
Let's talk a little bit about high school, because I know you're still involved in helping kids in high school run. It's the time when many of us sort of find out if we're any good at the sport, when that the mile is certainly one of the measures of that. What was your favorite race? Like, how did you find that you were fast? Like, how did that sort of show up?
Yeah. So, I mean, like in junior high, I really started to run competitively in seventh and eighth grade. I remember running in like some of the first round of waffle racers for Nike. Mm-hmm. Anyone who was a runner in the 80s remembers the waffle racers. It was like my prize possession, but I would usually win all my races. And funny story is the last meet of my eighth grade year, I was supposed to win the mile race. And this kid named Jack, who I didn't know who he was, out kicking me at the end of the race. And he's one of my best friends now. He lives in Portland and we still hang out and run marathons and half marathons. But that just kind of continued in high school. And I'm a little above average talented as a runner, but I realize where my limits are. I've been able to train and compete with elites. And so I just kind of worked myself through high school and just had a really good time. I met two of my best friends running, and I'm still friends with right now. And my high school running was really my social outlet, but also I think it kept me focused on school and taking care of myself. Or the part of town that I grew up in, Tucson, I don't want to say it's a rough part of town, but the crowds that my immediate neighbors and family, they took a different path than me. And I think a lot of it had to do with running. It's not an easy sport. You have to be dedicated. You have to take care of yourself. So that kind of continued through high school. And I had a great coach, Nick Varner. I'll do a shout out to him. In the mid 80s, he had us doing yoga and meditation and circuit training and cross training. And he was really ahead of his time. These are a lot of things that are just kind of secondhand right now for training. But back in the mid 80s, So I had a great role model and coach in Nick Varner as well. So, and I still keep in touch with him.
That's cool. So, I mean, of course, when you're running at the speeds that you were, like, what was that fat well that you did?
Yeah, so my fastest mile was like 4:26. I wish I ran a 4:14 because
yeah,
it would have been a better scholarship for me. But I ran a 1:57.800, which is pretty fast, but it's not, I mean, people who are really into running, it's above average. I mean, you're not going to run under 2 minutes unless you have some natural speed. But the kids these days are running. I think the fastest runner in the state of Arizona ran like 1:48 at the state meet. So, but it was fast enough that I could continue running in college. And usually if I put any effort into an endurance type of sport, I'm pretty good. But I realize in running with people who are really truly talented, there's a big difference between where I am and, you know, where the, you know, elite runners are. But it gave me a path, though, having a little bit of talent.
Yeah, well, certainly faster than most of us. Get through high school, you're running in college, you're starting to think about what is Joe going to become. And so, like, what was your mindset there? Did you, running was just establishing a foundation, and then you were looking for a major that you would think your career was going to turn into? Like, how did that all turn out?
Yeah, so I started out as a psych major, and that'll come back to later on in the story what I'm doing right now. And I just realized that I was going to have to go for school for a long time to get my PhD or a master's, whatever it is. And when you're 18, that seems like a long time to be in school. So I switched to be an accounting major, which is a good conservative degree. And that's what my dad had his degree in. And I remember a business professor said, hey, if you're going to get your degree in anything, get it in accounting, because accounting is the background of all business, the backbone of all business. So I did that. And what was interesting as far as like running at the next level, I remember running at the University of Arizona. I walked on there and I was running with a guy named Brian Grosso. He's a high school national champion. Mark Davis was the high school cross country national champion, went on to be an Olympian. Paul Thomas was the national champion for the mile. And now he's a professional multi-sport athlete. Martin Keno, which is the great Kip Keno's son, was on my team. And I realized very quickly, I mean, I always thought I was like really fast and speedy and talented. And that's where I realized I'm not going to do this for a living. And it's just like, but I enjoyed it. I truly enjoy running and hanging out with my friends. So I realized, hey, I really have to focus on school and getting a job. And kind of towards the end of my college career, I really focused on getting internships and getting work experience, working while I was going to school and really trying to figure out how am I going to live my life after college. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's interesting, right? The experience you had creates some foundation that habits, right?
Oh, absolutely.
What high performance mean to Joe? Where there's always, like in life, someone faster than us, right? And that's whatever it means, like that someone made more money, someone won more awards, but that doesn't matter, right? Like there's always space for us regardless, right? And I think once you put those habits in place and see some return from that, then we're able to establish who we are, right? And I think that's what you were doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back then, to your point, I think running just really gave me a foundation for life in a template of putting in the work and seeing the end results. If you're running consistently 40, 50 miles a week, you're going to get faster. You're going to get stronger. But the same goes for a job. If you're consistent in your work habits and what you're doing, you're going to be, you know, successful. And endurance running is not easy. It's very difficult. And I think it kind of sets the bar as far as what's hard. And if I could do this hard run, I could do this on the work side as well. So I think it really kind of set my mindset differently than probably what it would have been if that wasn't kind of like my core foundation at the time. So
yeah. And so it's also the other part that you're learning, right? Is that you can hang out with some really amazing people, which is another part of life, right? The story is if I hang out with what we'll call the right people, then my life develops in that direction. And so you were picking these people both probably very consciously, but also some of it by circumstance. I mean, like, you've focused on that. I mean, you still know a lot of amazing people, right? This has been core to your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wherever I go, I've kind of gravitated towards doing stuff that's kind of like the norm for me. But like when I was working at IBM in the late 90s, somehow I was working in this huge call center, like 800 people. Somehow I gravitated towards a couple people who wanted to do an adventure race, and they were kind of new at the time. Then like a couple months later, I'm out for a 20-hour adventure in East Texas and kayaking 10 miles across a lake. And I'm from Tucson. I've never kayaked or rode a boat before. I'm not used to water and doing those types of things. And it's definitely, I definitely gravitate towards people who are similar in that respect. And it's good because it's kind of like my lifestyle. So I've been able to craft my passions with my daily life in that way. And I'm still doing that right now. And that's kind of how you and I started to hang out. Is we were at a conference and you did a presentation at the time on Lance Armstrong and what Lance Armstrong was doing in the off season when Jan Ullrich was not training and Lance was up in the mountains training. And so I went up and I met you and I'm like, oh, wow, I got to meet this guy. He's a cyclist. I mean, that's awesome. And then we went to a conference and when everyone else was probably hungover from the night before, we're up at 5 a.m. going for a 6-mile run on Miami Beach watching the sunrise. I mean, but those are the experiences that I really value in life.
Yeah, I think that it's so funny that, yeah, for all of the probably controversy that Lance creates, it was still a good story of the discipline that one brings to what you do. And will you run in the rain? Will you work through the difficult times? Will you, like, this is what is up to us to decide how we want to show up. And through the difficulty, we can get the opportunity. And then I remember the presentation because what I was trying to get across to everyone is that it's about our choices, right? This isn't like something granted to us.
Right.
And it's the choices that we make and how we decide what to do. And so, yeah, so you continued to run. These are choices you were making and continued to try new activities. And then we met up and sort of had this idea that one day we might do an Ironman race, right?
Right.
That was a big moment for us to get out there and do that. What did you find as you're trying to merge the work, your career's growing, I want to go do an Ironman race, I want to still have a family. How did you manage all of that to work through?
Well, I mean, it wasn't easy. I'll tell you that. I mean, it's like waking up early, getting an hour, 2 hours in before the kids even wake up, because having two young kids and getting them ready for preschool and first grade, I mean, that's a hard chore. So I want to make sure I was there for that in the morning. And I traveled a lot because I've been working in the high-tech industry the last 25 years as a sales executive. So I traveled a lot. Like every week I was on the road. But even on the road, to have the discipline to wake up and run and do those things. And then the weekends, doing big rides on Saturdays. And what I found is this, and I think back as far as parenting. I mean, ultimately, I mean, you can tell your kids what to do, how to live their lives, but ultimately they're going to watch you and what you do. And I guess I'm fortunate in that my kids saw me getting back from my run or finishing the Leadville 100 mountain bike race and just about collapsing at the finish line, but seeing me hang out with my friends and seeing me do all these things. So my kids kind of followed my path. And now, I mean, I've been able to run with them. Even this morning, I went for a run with them, and I've been able to coach their cross-country track teams. And we've been able to have great adventures, hiking up mountains and doing things like that. So I've been able to pass that on, but it wasn't easy having a role working for a high-tech company, being a parent and working out, but I feel that I've kind of arrived and my kids are both running in college now and I get to spend time with them and enjoy them. But I would say it wasn't easy, but I'm glad that I kind of lived that life I lived and pass it on to my kids. So
yeah, you set a great example for them and for others in your community, because you guys are a tight-knit community. The other part, as I watched your journey and your interests continue to develop, one of the things that, so you got your business fundamentals and you have a good tech job, but there was always this curiosity in sort of trying to maybe package up a little bit of what it means to live this, Joe's version of his high performance life. And so when did you start thinking about how you could evolve your career more to be in harmony with your interests so that they became one thing? When did that start?
Well, there's a couple points in my life. So right now I work for Sounding Board. We're a leadership coaching company and technology company. So we have a platform and we have coaching services. I'm living my dream job right now. This is absolutely amazing. But I could tell you where it started. And it's kind of good to see where the end point is to tell you kind of where it started. In 2009, IBM had internal coaches. And there's a guy that I'm going to talk with him on Monday, Michael Hartman. He was my coach back then. And at the time, I was working at IBM. I was managing like $100 million in business for our distribution channel. I mean, anyone in the high-tech industry knows how these jobs are. At the end of the quarter, we literally had a call with the VP of sales like every single day to go through your entire pipeline and what you could do to move things forward. And it just really didn't align to my values and doing unnatural things when I say unnatural, I don't mean not ethical, but just doing things unnaturally to try to get business closed. And I realized with my coach, Michael Hartman, he did this exercise that a lot of people have probably done if they've been coached, is he did a value mapping with me and he had me pick like my top 20, 30 values. And then from there, he got them down to like 10 values. And then he said, what are your life goals that align to these values? And I did this in 2009, 2010. And I realized that my values, what I was doing at that time with IBM and the life I was living, weren't congruent. And I realized I need to make some changes. So I was actually able to get a job. It allowed me to live more in line with my values. So that's kind of like the path. That's kind of where it started. And I think going back to the psych major, I don't know what it is, but there's something inside me where I feel I'm here to serve others and help people. And I have a passion for mental health and helping people. I'm advising right now on a mental health technology startup. We have a virtual reality trauma solution. But it kind of started back when I first started in college, taking some of those psych classes. But then IBM realizing these values. And I think that's when it really started to grow. And then I think the big pivotal point for me was in 2015 for retail, Matt Lekaitis. He hired one of the top performance coaches. He's a Mike Gervais. He's the high performance sports psychologist for Seattle Seahawks, former Red Bull. And I sat through 2 days of this coaching session. And that's where it was like aha moment. I mean, this is what I want to do. I want to be doing what he's doing in some way. But also going back to all the endurance stuff, at the time I was training for the Leadville 100 mountain bike race, and I was eating perfectly. I was getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep. I was exercising. I was meditating. I was journaling. Basically, all the stuff you hear about in all these podcasts and all these books, I was doing all of this stuff just so I could go under 9 hours in a mountain bike race and get a big belt buckle. Because the two previous times I did it, I just missed it. And this was like so important to me. That's a whole nother conversation. I mean, all these things. And after 2 days of listening to Mike talk, everything that he was telling the whole entire group to do to be a high performer in the workplace, I was actually already doing. But I was doing just so I could do well in this race. And the race, it's fun stuff, but that's not the most important thing in life. But I realized I was already doing all these things. And that's where everything kind of flipped in my mind that I'm living this lifestyle to be a good athlete. But the same things that you do to become a good athlete for high performance, you could carry that into your personal life to be a better husband or father. you could carry it into your professional life to meet whatever professional goals you have. So, and from there, from 2015, now we're in 2023, I've been on this path of getting certified as a coach, taking a mindful-based stress reduction class, getting this job I have right now. When I was at SAP, great company, they actually gave me a 6-month fellowship to sell a mind a wellness like app through SuccessFactors to customers. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the pathway between where it kind of started and kind of how I ended up. But there was a lot of years in between. But I would say it started with that first coaching session, Michael Hartman.
Yeah, I think what's so interesting, right, is your journey, Joe, and many of people that we know, it wasn't really obvious when you were growing up in Tucson that you could become a very accomplished endurance athlete, know some of the best endurance athletes in the country, be accomplished enough that you could coach people, have a great professional career, build a really great family life, set yourself up for now where it all sort of makes sense to you. But that was not granted, earned, of course. And isn't that sort of fascinating how that can happen?
It is. I mean, it's funny because I have this little spreadsheet. I still have that spreadsheet that I went through back with the IBM coach, and now I've kind of made it my own. And I have like these columns. I think I've probably shown this to you before, Joe, but yeah. It has like my values, and then it has my life objective goals that align to those values. Then it has my yearly goals, and those are all aligned to my values. But then it has my daily intentions. I call them not commitments or to-dos, but like intentions of how I want to live my life. And it was funny because I was just showing this to both of my kids this last week, and my son like looked at my life goals on the left side, and he's like, Dad, he's like, you're doing this right now. I mean, you're like 53 and you're telling me you're like, you've already met your life goals. It was kind of funny. And I was like, well, I still have my yearly goals, but I'm living the life and that I've crafted for myself. Mm-hmm. And it's a process every day, but that's kind of how I try to live. So I've kind of crafted this life, and it's not one action item or one goal, but I would say more, it's a lifestyle. And James Clear talks about that. I think the Power of Habits book, it's about crafting a lifestyle that aligns to your values and your goals. So that's kind of like what I've tried to build.
Yeah, well, of course, I love it because it's sort of a good reflection back for me in terms of similar kinds of choices made and an understanding that those choices get you a result. If you have a little bit of patience, you have the right community, you believe in yourself, you make the commitment. I think it's so cool that you wrote down not just your life goals, but your intentions and your values, and you hold yourself accountable to them, right?
Right.
They're not transient. They're maybe not permanent but really important. And so that's something that people can action off of, right? And we can learn from that translates into how you measure yourself against yourself every day, right? I mean, this is what you start with when you start each day.
Yeah, absolutely. I have this really neat app called Streaks that has all my daily intentions that align to my values. And I look at this every day, so I don't have to look at the spreadsheet. I have this app that I use. And I still have like a lot of big goals. Like I injured myself. I ran kind of a fast marathon in 2019, and I promptly injured myself like right after that. And fortunately, I was still able to do the lead man with you that year. But I still want to get back to that speed. And so I have a goal this year to qualify for Boston Marathon this December. And I'm nowhere close to that. So I don't want to make it sound like, hey, I'm like, I've achieved all my goals. I have yearly goals. I have a new job right now. I want to be successful. I want to finish 100% of quota. I want to show value to my team. I feel passionate about the sounding board message as far as enabling leaders. I always have work to do with relationships with my wife and my family and friends. So I don't want to make it seem like, oh, Joe's like reached his goals and that's it. That there's a lot that I strive for, and I still have those yearly goals, and I'm still working on this. But one of my goals is to help people out. So what I try to do is really work on myself, and hopefully I'll get something that works really well, and I share it with as many people as possible. So
yeah, you know, we did a couple of mindset presentations together, right, to some new employees at SAP back when, trying to sort of carry forward that both practitioner perspective as well as me, I was an outsider, to collaborate with you was great. And I think that the story of like, well, intriguing people doing extraordinary things, sometimes we focus a lot on those who get the spotlight, right? Someone who, Michael Phelps, won whatever, 17 or 18 gold medals. But when he's done with that, he's like, he's still a very talented individual, but that focus, that spotlight sort of recedes. And we have to develop a life that lasts much longer than that. And I think that for everyone who goes on this journey with us, I think it's a reminder that our version can be as good as anyone's version.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things you believe.
Absolutely.
And so when you think about sort of your, this moment, and now you have intersected your work, your athletics, your family into this, the life that you want, how are you thinking about sort of health span and quality of life and versus just living longer over the next however many years you have, hopefully 50 plus?
It's a great question, and we probably spoke about this. So, but I just read the Peter Attia book, Outlive, and he talks about not just lifespan, but health span. And I want to live a long, healthy life. And that's important to me. And so that's one of the things I'm working on. For some reason, I don't know why, I have genetically, I have high cholesterol. So that's something I have to work on. And that can be solved with medicine and other things. But it's not just living long, but it's living a long, healthy, productive, happy life. So a lot of the goals I have right now for this year and my daily intentions are to build in areas where I may not be so strong. Like for me, like one of my weaknesses is strength training. It's harder for me to schedule 2 half-an-hour sessions a week for strength training than it is for me to go out and ride 4 to 5 hours Saturday morning. So that's something I need to work on. I have a sweet tooth like no other. I need to work on that. And these things may seem trivial, but they're important when I'm looking at health span. I want to hopefully be here for, you know, the next 50 years and to be able to help people out on my journey. So I really spent a lot of time this year focused on that, because just because you're able to go run 10 miles or go bike 50 miles, it doesn't mean you're healthy. It just means you have a big engine and you can go hammer, but there's, you know, you have to take care of yourself as well. So those areas are really, really important to me. And that's kind of something I've been educating myself on and focused on this year. So they're not light topics. They're very important topics. And I'm trying to, every single time I talk with someone, I, you know, recommend that book, or I let people know what I'm doing. So it's been fun to.
Yeah, I think that it's great. There did this series a little while ago. I think it was a television series called the Ageless Living Series, which was it wasn't characterized perfectly, but it was, how are you going to live in the second half of your life? Like however long it's going to be.
Right.
And we know that the deeper we go into science and understand the biology and the chemistry of the human body, that as we age, it's not developing, right? It's declining. But the activities that we do, the way that we live, the exercise that we do, the way that we eat, can sort of moderate that impact of biology and lifestyle. And so it is important to touch on these topics and to do something about them, even if it takes us a little while, as you're finding, because we might get slower, but boy, it's still great to get out and be able to run 10 miles, right?
Yeah, no, it's one of the best things to do. And actually, one of my five values, and I really spent a lot of time on this, is adventure. And one of my lifelong goals is to be able to go out and do 5+ hours of adventure at any given time, just be ready. If someone says, hey, let's go climb a mountain, let's go for a bike ride, let's go do this, that brings me a lot of enjoyment. So there's other things on my list as well, but that is one of the things that brings me joy. And we exchange these stories a lot, but with your daughters and their significant others and the things you do, it's just the amazing the amount of joy that brings to you. And over 4th of July weekend, my son's girlfriend was visiting from Loveland, Colorado, and me and my son and Jada and my daughter, we went and we hiked, ran up a 9,400 foot mountain, and we just had a blast. I mean, yeah. It was just being up there and seeing the ladybugs at the top of the mountain, nature and searching for streams. But that brings like immense joy to me. And I want to continue to be able to have those types of adventures. But if I don't take care of myself, if I'm not eating right, if I'm not sleeping, if I'm not working on my strength and actually running every day, I'm not going to be able to do those types of things. So it's important to me. That's an important part of my life.
Yeah, there was a Navy SEAL guy who said, you know, discipline creates freedom. Sometimes I think that the discipline actually creates happiness. Because we get to, because of this discipline that you've shown, you can do activities that you wouldn't maybe be able to do otherwise. And going up Mount Wrightson and really cranking away with people who might be a little bit younger than you is sort of fun. Maybe, Joe, as we sort of get close to wrapping up, let's just talk about mindset for a second, because you have spent a lot of time on this. We've talked about it sort of as the theme of this, but like, what do you think about when someone says mindset?
Well, mindset, for me, it's one of the pillars of performance, happiness. One of my goals is to raise my level of consciousness. And, you know, mindset is basically, I feel, and even Peter Attia says this in the last chapter of his book around emotional health. It all starts with your mindset. And if you don't have a clear mind, if you don't have goals, if you're not taking care of yourself in that way, it's going to be difficult to do anything. So one thing I'd say as far as mindset is I start with my values. So it makes it easy for me to make decisions throughout the day, whether personal or professional decisions, because I know where my values are. And that comes to mindset, that what's driving you. But then also to be able to think in the moment and have the right mindset, you have to be able to pull on many levers. And there's lots of tools that I use. I mean, as far as getting a good night's sleep, journaling, meditation. One thing that I'm focused on right now, like one of my major goals right now, it's lowering my breath and really focused on being aware in the moment. And if you're able to do that, you're able to make good choices and have the right mindset about things. So that's kind of like a long-winded answer, but you asked about mindset. It means a lot of different things to me. So
that's good. I like that. Yeah. I think that this is about, I love the Stoics, right? You worry about what you can control and what you can't control. And that is what mindset is about. It's about how we decide to show up and the agency that we have over ourselves. And you're just a great living example of high performance that got better over time with the choices that you made and the way you hold yourself accountable to a set of values that we all could benefit from. And well, it's just good to have you in the community. So maybe the last question, Joe, like the chasing tomorrow theme is always this idea of what are we going to go do next? What's on tap for Joe? What's your chasing tomorrow?
Well, I want to be successful in my job. That's top of mind for me right now. Yeah. I feel I'll just do a little plug on the importance of leadership. And I've been talking with a lot of people, but leaders have a big impact on people, not just immediate people, but their families and sometimes generations to come. If a person works for a bad manager, they bring that home. So I'm really on a mission right now to help people by giving people the leadership skills. So that's top priority. I am going to be running the Tucson Marathon this December with a good friend of mine, Andre. He challenged me to try to get a Boston qualifying time. So I want to make sure I do that. It looks like I might be doing a race with you, hopefully, yep, in November. And I really want to just focus on all the things that we've been talking about and being healthy and just be ready for new adventures and things for 2024. But those are kind of like the things I'm going to be focused on that are kind of top of mind right now is just getting healthy so I could run fast again. It's a big priority to me. I like cycling. I like swimming, but I really running just runs core to who I am and what I really enjoy doing. So
yeah, that's awesome. And I do know that if I email you or make a phone call, I can almost always get you interested in the challenge. So thanks for giving that back. Joe, thanks for being on the podcast. We really appreciate your perspective and you being a role model in our community, and I just wish you the best.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate it.